Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I
breakfast with the Browns.
Whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of
cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electropop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense, and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow, the clouds fit, and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like you. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're...
You know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but you, man, you're going to have a hell of a time saying what it is.
He's a nasty, nasty guy. He's a liar.
Get him out of here. Get him the hell out of here. Get him out of here.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name?
They call me
DJ Ray.
Late Night Show is the start of the weekend. Tune in Friday nights at 11 p.m. till late here on CITR 101.9 FM. If you're a producer or a DJ or an MC or any of those things and you love drum and bass or ambient sounds, please email me. My email address is CITRLateNightShow@gmail.com.
This concludes our proposal. Thank you for your attention.
Are you weary of listening to Uncle's tired old war stories? Had enough of Zuzu's quest for father's favor? Do you want to hear tales worthy of the Fire Nation princess herself? Then tune in to Scald's Hall on CITR 101.9 FM and listen to the very best established and upcoming storytellers in the land. Do it, peasant, for your princess commands you.
Join us Fridays at 9 p.m. for the very best in spoken word entertainment.
Ty Lee, you're not thinking of changing the dial, are you? That's better.
For the best in funk, soul, surf, and more music, tune in to Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 at CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Add us on Twitter at Jack Velvet Radio, Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show. Also available streaming and podcast at jackvelvet.net.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. This is right after Nardwar, the Human Serviettes show. And today, we're going to be talking about some interactions we've had with artists, both online and offline, as well as some other things. And we're going to be promoting a show that's tonight that you could come to, and some other shows. But for now, we're going to play the last August Cooper song to be released, R.I.P. So this one is called Charlie. Enjoy.
Thank you.
where I see it.
Your robe of petite peace, peace. Don't need to, I need an idea for me. Nostalgia, stay away from me. The sun don't set, the moon ain't seen. Oh, been on my grind when I get up, get up, get up. Oh, don't waste time when I get up, get up, get up. Statue, I'ma work that body. No cover, I'm not so shy. Only playing cause I know you're not. Play your feelings, something I'm gon' die. Pussy sweet like apple pie. And it tastes so good first try. Got the plastic wrapped to the side. Off the hash and the passion inside. Had to laugh cause the crash and survive. Now I'm back and I'm not gonna lie. Go ghost, live life, sit us back to the cycle. And my niggas really feasting at the drive. You can catch me at the door. Your robe of petite peace, peace. Don't need to, I need an idea for me. Nostalgia, stay away from me. The sun don't set, the moon ain't seen. Oh, been on my grind. Oh, been on my grind. Oh, been on. Oh, been on. Long gone, long. I've been on, been on. Niggas, blast, I just mask statue, Adam. I don't know, wanna tag me, finna Adam. I be blowing all the cues, nigga. Talking about the Adam. Oh, gone, been on, off, on. Like, niggas see me, I don't know. Moving past the dark light. I was in the spot, I was in the spotlight. How you even go? Tell them it's so godlike. Oh, been on, been on, been on, oh, you're been on, on, been on, peace, peace. Oh, don't need to, I need it, oh, I need it for me. Oh, spend all the ground, like, get up, get up, get up.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back. You're listening to Word on the Street. That was just a song by Stone Cold Finger. That song is called Super Moon Yellow. And you could catch him tonight. And you can also catch Andrew, who is one half of what used to be August Cooper, tonight at the same event as Stone Cold. It's another locals-only event. It's at Fortune. On that lineup, we also got A4, Prado, JML, Dirty CPU, and our two friends, Andrew Mulat and Stone Cold Finger. That's tonight at 7:30.
Yeah.
We're going to be there.
$10.
$10. 19 plus. Sorry, kids. what else do we have on a bigger scale coming to Vancouver soon, Caleb?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the CITR Discorder paper right here. And May 9th, we got The Japanese House at Fortune, which is a band, Helena Lakes. And Georgia Smith and Kali Uchis at the Malkin Bowl.
Where is that?
Hot ticket.
Stanley Park.
Stanley Park.
Oh, what?
The neighborhood performed there with Travis Scott.
Yeah. Also, really? Waze Blood. I don't know if anyone knows Waze Blood, but they're coming to Wise Hall. I'm pretty sure that show sold out, but it should be a hot ticket. As well, don't forget Breakout Fest happening in June. ASAP Rocky, Race Remmered, Lil Baby, Gunna, Rich the Kid, and the Little Skies.
Little Skies. So today, we're going to talk about fan interaction a little bit. So, Caleb, this is your idea. So, you got this idea going. Why? What did Kevin Abstract do recently?
So, Kevin Abstract, you know, I was on YouTube the other day, and I see that Brockham had a live stream, hashtag the 1999, and I was like, okay, what is this? And then Kevin Abstract tweets, he's running on a treadmill for 10 hours outside of his childhood home, Corpus Christi. By the way, if you don't know who Kevin Abstract is, he's in Brockhampton. Send RCA. They're
who's that?
Hot group. They had a number one album last year.
We never talk about them.
We never talk about
okay.
them.
Okay. So Kevin Abstract, he was outside of his childhood home. And so he was just running on this treadmill. I tune in, and it's just him, like, on a street. There's some grass. Him on a treadmill. And eventually, like, some people, one person came up to him. And they were like, oh, like, I just saw your tweet, like, and I just lived down the street. And he really had this conversation with this fan. And I really noticed how he would ask the fan questions that the fan wasn't even expecting to be, like, talked to in that way. He was, like, what's your passion? Like, oh, what do you do? Like, what do you like? And stuff like that. And I found that, like, really, it really moved me, honestly. And then, like, and then he literally asked, this is the first person that came up to him. He literally asked him, he was, like, because he said he was in a group or some collective of some sort. And so he asked the guy to shout out his group on the stream. And he didn't even, this guy didn't even want to. But he, like, forced him to do it.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it really was. And then, like, soon, like, five people started showing up. And then when I tuned in, like, an hour or two later, there was a huge group of people surrounding him. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's really genuine. And I'm not surprised coming from Kevin, because if you know his story, it's, like, pretty, you know, outcast guy, struggled, you know, and he really blew up with Brockhampton out of nowhere and worked really hard to get to where he is. So I'm not even surprised, but I'm happy that, you know, he was like that and he just actually cared as much as about the fan that the fan cared about him and why he was there.
Yeah, so, like, throughout the day, I mean, there was all kinds of different people who knew him in different ways. But, I mean, some people got a different impression from it than I did. You know, some of my friends were saying, like, they thought the meaning of this whole stream and event was to show how much people objectify celebrities. And I totally saw it the different way, because I saw how he was interacting and trying to actually connect with people. And, but, like, there totally was a lot of people who went up to him who probably didn't actually listen to his music and just knew that there was a celebrity in town who was from their hometown and just wanted, there's tons of people just like, can I get a picture, or just took pictures of him all day. So there was this kind of weird divide between, like, where is it exploitive and where is it actually you're connecting with someone?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty easy to tell who is doing which side and why people are there. I think what comes to my mind from this is, I just think about the Frank stream. I mean, it's totally different.
It's similar, though.
Yeah, it is similar at the same time. It's, you know, it's cool because that was such a way for fans to connect. I mean, as close as they're going to get to Frank, since he's so distant anyway. But I think doing that was a really beautiful way of connecting, too. It's just like with the Coachella, the Sunday service stream. Like, you know, it's so hard to get close to Kanye. So many people love Kanye, but that was very intimate, and that was a very artistic way of saying, I know everyone can't be here, but I want to show everyone that I put a lot of work into this, and I want to show people my art, and I want people to care about it. So I think that for those examples, at least, it does actually come out of a place that is genuine and that is about the music, and it's not, you know, the artist just trying to objectify themselves even. I mean, maybe with Kanye, you might argue that he is, but I think that shot of him crying in the middle of it, I think most Kanye fans can agree, like, that was really deep felt, and that was hard hitting, and that was something that was very real, and that illustrates, you know, the past few years for him, really, like, his whole legacy. That is accurate, and that is true. That's what he is. He's not just this egomaniac.
Yeah, I mean, like, in general, like, there's a lot of these kind of streaming events that artists are doing. And, like Kanye has done them with his last two albums, with Life of Pablo and Ye. And you really, I mean, I'll always remember where I was when I watched those for the first time, because it's really, like, it brings you into a moment and you're there in real time. And it's kind of it's a really special thing of being in this new era of where you can just, like, collaborate with some company and suddenly you have a live stream up that's like HD quality, and like you can really be in a moment even though there's like thousands of people there, but you can be one of the people watching it and seeing it as it happens.
I mean, it's totally different from even 10 years ago. You could never do that. And a lot of the artists before this generation, specifically, especially the 2010s, there's no way to do anything like that, and it was so limited. So have you had any interactions with artists aside from online, like in person, that you wanted to talk about anything at all? Anyone you met that you want to brag about? Any happy stories?
I met Ski Mask a few days ago. He was really nice. I offered him a hit of my funny cigarette. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the other word. Yeah, and then he's like, it's okay.
Honestly, the best thing I have in person is at the front. I was at the front of the crowd at Flognaw.
Oh, and, wow.
The past year or 2 years ago?
The or 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Okay, yeah. Wow.
Was it the Erwolf year?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was at the very front, and then, like, ASAP was going off, or ASAP Ferg, not Rocky. Mm. I was at Rocky, too, but that's a whole other story. But Ferg just comes up to me, and he just, like, grabs me. Just by the arm, and he's just like rapping into my face. I'm like, oh, what the fuck is happening? And then he just lets me go and just go back into the mosh, and that's like.
That kind of reminds me of like during Gambino's set at Coachella.
Yeah.
He shared that joint with just some guy in the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I always think I like during the whole thing, like that whole interaction. I was just thinking like, I wonder what this guy is feeling. Like,
yeah.
What's going through his mind? Like, how is he processing this?
He's
like,
probably not. He's just there. Just like
this is like
starstruck
like such a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, no one's ever gonna get that again. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but nobody was like recording that. Nobody would believe him either.
Oh yeah.
He'd be like, yeah, you know, I was smoking.
Yeah, in the crowd, he just came up to me.
Josh Gambino, real quick.
Yeah, I just put up my hand.
Like, just shows up.
I mean, the best fan or artist interaction I've had, I went to Vince Staples, and I had a VIP ticket. So I got in early. I was at the barrier. And, you know, he's not very, like, a interactive kind of performer. Like, he's pretty laid back and subdued type of person in general. So, I mean, he didn't really come to the barrier that much. But when he did, he came to me, like, only me, and he picked my hand to, like, lift himself up over the crowd and kind of, like, get over people. And so right after the show, I went straight. I was the first person in line for the meet and greet, and I just got to thank him, like, for just making a really good show. And, like, and he was just like, thank you, like, for enjoying it. Like,
yeah.
And that was just, like, really good and simple and how it should be, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, a few years ago, back when I was, like, still listening to Mac DeMarco. And
I love Mac DeMarco.
Yeah, so he had a show at, like, the Commodore, which is nice and chill. It was, like, mm-hmm. Halloween show, so he was dressed as a nun the whole time.
He would.
Like, yeah, very Mac. And then at the end of the show, like, I just left, went to get something to eat, but then my friend was like, oh yeah, we're waiting behind because like Mac's like out here just like meeting people, and he was just like chilling with like the rest of his band, like just waiting for people to come and say hi, and like it was very chill. Kind of didn't expect it. Like, he had like no obligation, but he was like very friendly, and he just like waited for all these people to come say hi.
I remember at the Love Your Parents tour for Brockhampton, I was in the front of the line, and then you know how they were doing those like documentaries of the tour?
Mm-hmm.
So like they never put it out, but I guess they were trying to make one for Vancouver, and then they interviewed me, and then Kevin Doan was filming me, and I was like, oh my goodness, it's Kevin Doan. And then Ashton was like, hello, how are you? Like, and I was like, oh, do you like Vancouver? And he's like, no, it's boring as shit. And then and then I gave him some weed and like stuff for Merlin. I was like, can you give this to Merlin? He's like, okay. And then they left. But then later they walked by, and then they were like, oh, I think they were smoking it because a big cloud went up.
Yeah, I think I have two. One with Peggy last August.
Oh, at the Fortune show?
Yeah, the Fortune show, because he was supposed to be here in May with injury reserve, but then his throat was hurting or something. And I remember as soon as he canceled it, I DM'd him, and he DM'd me back right away. He's like, I'm so sorry, man. I promise I'll make up for it. And he actually did. And then when I met him, I said, yeah, you actually kept your word, and that was really cool of you. He's like, yeah, of course, man. And he was just, like, screaming. He's just like, no, this is so great.
I threw him some joints on stage, and then I was like, hey, that was me. And then he was like, oh, my goodness. I was going to tweet out, like, on Twitter, like, can someone bring me some? And then he, like, read my mind, and then he gave me a hug. And he was really sweaty, and it was kind of, like,
he's so slimy.
He was a little bit gross, honestly, but I was, like, still touched.
Yeah,
honestly, I'm a little mad about that Peggy show because the injury reserve show was all ages, and I only bought a ticket to see him. And then when he did a show at the same venue later to make it up, it wasn't all ages, and I couldn't go, and it was extremely frustrating.
I went, and I didn't know who he was.
It really pisses me off. Like, I really like him.
Yeah, it's funny because he's so angry in his songs, but he's the most friendly guy. Other one I have is Denzel. When I was helping Narwhar do the interview, his whole little crew, they were so kind. Like, they bought us like pastries, like these Chinese pastries from across the street.
Yeah.
And Denzel was just like said thanks to all of us. You know, he's like, I really appreciate you
guys.
Is that
the interview where he's like freaking out and stuff?
Yeah. And they were just very gracious people. And it's nice to see that, you know, when a lot of artists do interact with their fans, they just treat you like another human, and you should treat them like another human too.
But do you think that's like maybe they're like trying to put up a nicer image of themselves? Because like when word of mouth gets out that they're kind of like an asshole, then that's not good for their image. Because I always think about that too.
Yeah.
But I think like it's nicer to be nice than like be yourself and be mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the ones we've mentioned, most of them are, you know, not the biggest stars in the world. So I don't think it's saving face. I think it's actually just them being themselves.
Yeah.
I think definitely, though, when it comes to meet and greet, especially with bigger artists, they do have to, you know, be nice. And it is awkward. I remember Vince Staples was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, I'll do meet and greet. And I know, like, I'm not going to be like, a rapper forever, so it's cool. But it's really awkward. It's like, what do you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I remember during Kevin's live stream, everyone was, like, asking him to sign stuff and be like, can I take a picture and stuff? He was really nice about it, but, like, because we were talking about, like, why he did the whole, like, live stream thing. And, like, I don't know. I feel like he didn't really have a specific, like, vision of, like, how it was going to go down. I think he was just like, let's see what happens. Yeah. But he was still really nice about it. He was so, like, nice and trying to, like, talk to everyone and stuff. But you could really tell he wanted just more conversation. And not like, I want a picture with you. Can you please sign like my baby or like?
But that was one thing like I really noticed with the stream was like, wow, he's really putting himself out for 10 hours and like
that's a long time.
Yeah, and he has
he's walking the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. So he has to be nice to people for 10 hours. Like he can't be mean to someone. And that's such interesting position to put you in because you're especially like his career is so much tied to his image and stuff. So like, just put yourself out as a human being. Who can talk to people for 10 hours? Like, that's insane. Yeah, no, it really was because he really kept up it with it. Like, there's points of it where he was more quiet because he was running for 10 hours. But, like, when he would come back and, like, talk to people, he was always asking them, like, what do you do? Like, why do I inspire you? Because that's what's important.
Yeah. Do you think with the people you're biggest fans of, do you think that if you met them, you would actually have conversation? Or do you think you would just say thank you? What would you say to them? Do you know for a fact there are some that, yes, I know exactly, I would say this to Kanye or Frank. Do you know what you would say, or do you think it would be awkward?
Honestly, I think about it a lot, and I think that I would want myself to, like, continue and, like, engage in a conversation, like, a very, like, you know, like, one that we're actually both participating in, like, fully. But I feel like also at the same time, I'll just be so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, he has to go somewhere. Like, they have something to do. And I'll be like, oh, I like your music.
Yeah,
thanks.
Honestly, like, I might cry. Like,
no, I will 100% like that, cry. Like,
say you had the chance, though, to just talk to them and they didn't have to rush. Do you think that you could actually talk, or do you think you would just be like, hey, thank you?
I think I would have to prepare.
Who would that person be that you think you could talk to? Do you know if there's some that you know you can and can't? Because I know... I think if a lot of people met Kanye, if they knew how to handle him in the right way.
I don't think anyone knows how to talk to him. Really.
But I think he just goes off so much that you might be able to.
Yeah.
If he'd
just talk at you.
Yeah. But I mean, with someone like Frank, I don't know what words.
I mean, I would love to meet them and talk to them. But like, I tried to meet Earl after the Earl show a couple weeks ago. And I mean, no one came out. They like were hiding inside the venue. But like, if I met Earl, I actually wouldn't have really wanted to talk to him. I would have just thanked him for making music.
Yeah.
That made me feel. Yeah, because like I know he's a pretty reserved guy.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Abstract is someone that easily you can talk with.
Yeah.
Just because like he's pretty like not he knows how to like I don't know no he doesn't know how to handle his fame, but I think he doesn't let it go to his head.
But he knows that's also one of the great things about Kevin and why. We're fans of him is and how I knew about him was that he was a fan of Frank Ocean and that is he knows what it means to what that art can mean to someone and he talked about that on the stream. I mean maybe we'll kind of wrap this up, but like how he said during the stream that when he first heard Man on the Moon by Kid Cudi that he went on his lawn where he was doing this treadmill thing and he looked up and he looked at the moon and he laid on the grass and he listened to this album for the first time, and when it finished he got off the treadmill and he laid in the grass and looked up to the sky. It's kind of like that was the performance itself, was showing that transition over a lifetime. And I mean, it's been so inspiring to see Kevin just blow up because I remember seeing him at the Biltmore, and there was it was not filled up. And it's just crazy seeing what happened.
Yeah. I think there's a big difference between talking to an artist who is solely an artist and an artist who is also a fan. Because when I come in here before the show and I talk to Narwar, we're both huge fans of hip-hop, so we just talk about it, and it just goes off like that. That's when I, you know, when I think of someone like Jonah Hill, for example, if I ran into him, I know I could talk to him because he loves hip-hop, but because I'm not an artist myself, because I don't like music, I think it's hard to talk to someone who's more just making the music and talking about that. So there's a line, but it's really interesting because, you know, someone like Kevin, like you just said, he's a fan of a lot of the people that you're a fan of, so it's easy to go off on that.
Okay. Let's play some tunes.
We'll play some tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're about halfway. We're going to play a couple more songs from people that are performing tonight. We're going to play Prado next. This song is called Like Line.
Yeah.
And we'll give you the details for the event after this and a couple ads. You're listening to We're on the Street.
Me. watch me the way Viola Davies. My circle small, but we have big needs and make the need for 360. Bound for use is a word in the street, and we don't do check the rest of posse. When I release, swap and jump ship and get lost in the street. Type of some script, too hot to talk, so I talk on my feet and leave the curious like Georgia Monkey.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate, you remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What is Pilate? He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on CITR.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
That was a Narwhar promotion for his show. Kalev, what you got?
Okay, so we just played Like Line by Prado, Suit Up by Tapari, and I'm pretty sure also a song by A4, who's performing tonight. And I'm just, so going from this fan interaction, I kind of want to bring up a totally similar but totally different topic, which is data and data in the streaming age. So I had this quote from Frank Ocean from his New York Times interview in 2016. So the question was, what about the data side, the numbers and the sales? And Frank said, I know exactly what the numbers are. I need to know. I need to know how many records I've sold, how many album equivalents I'm streaming, which territories are playing my music more than others, because it helps in conversations about where we're going to be playing now, or where I might open a retail location or a pop-up store or something. So I thought that was really interesting in terms of this new era of technology being a big part of music and having a technological infrastructure being like the main basis for music nowadays. And I don't know, I just thought of that quote like right away, is that how an artist can totally understand their audience a lot better through this technological data.
And yeah, you're also talking about how something like Spotify can pretty much manipulate, you know, how not just like the location for the artists and everything and where they're going to open things and do shows, but also from our side, the music that we listen to is very based on an algorithm, and the numbers play into that, and what is recommended and what you hear in your ears when you go off of an album, when you go on to the radio mode.
Well, we pay for these services like Spotify and Apple Music and stuff, and part of what we're paying for is these algorithms, and it's kind of an interesting business model to pay for this algorithm to understand you better and to know you better, because music is such a primal instinct. Like when you listen to a song you like, it will make you dance or it won't, you know what I mean? Like so you get this really base psychological profile of people based on like what they like and what music they like. And so there is a whole element of that nowadays with Facebook data, Google data, where companies are really looking at like how you interact with software and the information you enter. Like if you like Hello Kitty on Facebook, they know you're more open-minded, and therefore you're more likely to be this political party or more susceptible to this information.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just find it really interesting. And in terms of music, like, music is such a powerful thing. And Spotify is selling our data, like, as a collective, they're selling the psychological profiles of everybody who uses it to advertisers.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying at the same time.
But it's what it is.
And it, at this point, if you're online at all, then you're pretty much sold.
Yeah.
And you can't really get that back anymore. I think Mark Zuckerberg said himself the age of privacy is dead, and he knew that when he made Facebook. And it's interesting because I think when you listen to music, that's the last thing on your mind. Oh my God, I'm listening to this song and it's going to shuffle to this. So now someone is going to know that I feel this way and I'm into these things. And they're going to use that with when I go on Facebook and I look at these ads, because my Facebook is connected to my Spotify.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking right now, oh my God, that's why that came up. Sometimes you see the ads on Facebook and you know exactly why it's there. Mm-hmm. And it freaks you out. But also, do you do anything about it? No, because it's happening to everyone else.
Yeah. This is, I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot, but like that's why I wanted to talk about it. It's just like this thing called data, it's a thing that they sell to people. It's a thing they've created, and it didn't exist like 20 years ago. And they've created this entire market that really controls like a lot of business and now art with like music and Spotify. And like there is no real regulation because no one really understood what they were doing. And so like when we use Google or whatever, we know we're giving them our data, but we never really thought about it that everybody's giving their data, and therefore everybody is kind of being susceptible to manipulation in a way that they can understand the entire society, and then therefore a private company, private company owns all this information and can sell it to another private company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this might be a bit outlandish, but a good way to compare it to something that we're still trying to understand and recognize that it is way more powerful than we thought is Big Pharma.
Yeah.
Because Big Pharma, you know, before it even had the name Big Pharma, everyone could, you know, get prescriptions and you could get certain pills for things and you have to get this for this. And, you know, most people are going to go get the pills instead of trying to do some natural remedy. And there's so much control. And it gets to the point where it's this multi-trillionaire thing that exists, especially in North America, especially in the States, but in Canada too. And it's gotten to the point where it has more power and just a lack of rules than something like the government. And it's terrifying. And then, and you get something with big data, there's no walls with that, right? That's everywhere in the world. There's no limit to that. Something like Big Pharma, you know, maybe it's just a North American phenomenon, but something like big data, it's like, who's going to be the person who stops it? Because there's nothing, like, you know, so much of the internet we don't even see.
Yeah.
So much of the internet is dark web and whatever. It's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I just think, the data in general, like the reduction of everything to like certain numbers and values that like take away like, you know, other contexts, like has a bigger like societal effect in general, you know, because like decisions are based on these things, then like a lot of other things are disregarded in terms of like what those mean. And I guess it's like it's also just bigger trends of like us like losing power to technology, like weirdly, like as that like continues to develop and like the like technology we create becomes more and more like independent.
Yeah.
Then we
yeah.
reach like very interesting outcomes.
Yeah.
I find it really interesting that like Twitter, for example, they call themselves a service, but then in a different moment they'll call themselves a company and say, do you really want a private company censoring what you say? But then it's just like, so if it is a service, why is it privately owned? You know what I mean? And just because they made it, and then there's this whole issue, and it's the same issue with Spotify, it's the same issue with Apple Music, it's the same issue with Twitter, is that they're all profit-based. And that's why they're selling our data, is because they're privately owned companies, and when you're a privately owned company, you have to keep making profit or you won't get more money to keep making your company. So you have to create some kind of profit motive. And I mean, Spotify does have their revenue from the subscribers, but another source of the revenue is probably a lot of the advertisements, a lot of the data of just what people are listening to and how you can manipulate what people will listen to. Like the people who started Spotify actually didn't have a background in music at all. They were marketing execs.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a big part of it too is just the accessibility of everything, because when you sign up for Spotify and you go and log in and it says, oh, log in with Facebook, of course you're going to click that. You don't want to make another email, password, account. You don't want to remember that. So it's just, it's actually all interconnected. And, you know, not to draw away from music too much, but I think all of this is definitely related to AI just rising further and further up. And it gets to the point where it's that conversation, like, is that going to be too much? Is it going to be like on some, oh no, it's 1999 is almost over, it's 2000 type of wave. Is it going to get to that?
With algorithms, they're really just changing everything in terms of real world, like how we interact with people. And I mean, and then let's get back to the fan interaction aspect. Mm-hmm. How many people, the number someone has on their Instagram profile, you will talk to that person differently.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure you see it just in microcosm, like around you all the time. So like, it's just so like, and then so Instagram's taking off their legs, and we're really in this world where we are kind of controlled by analytics, or we've really put a number on the human experience and psychology, and like, and what that means for music is that music's going to change, and already is. Like, for example, a lot of songs are being made under 2 minutes because that's the quicker you can play it quicker, you can get more streams quicker. Mm-hmm. And that really just, that's changing the art, what it sounds like, what your experience with it is.
Well, like, a lot of people also discover music just from, like, what their friends like and stuff, right? Yeah. And then, like, you connect your Facebook to Spotify, and then your Spotify connects, like, your Facebook, like they pull out all your friends who also use Spotify, and then they'll, like, put it on the sidebar of, like, what are your friends listening to? And then I was reading this study of, like, people kind of treat Spotify as, like a second-tier social media platform. Well, they'll, like, they'll listen to things, but then if they don't want their friends knowing they listen to this certain thing, they'll turn off, like, their sharing or whatever. Just so, because they're like, oh, I know, like, if my friends see me listening to this, they're going to clown me or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. So then it's also going to change, like, our perception of how other people consume music. And we're not, I feel like we're going to have, like, very, like, pulled back conversations. Like, we can't really be as vulnerable about, like, what we like and, like, what speaks to us versus, like, what is the trend now? Instead of, like, what you were saying earlier, like, what makes me dance? Like, what actually, like...
Going back to like the 2 minutes thing though, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, because like, even though it is changing the way music works, when they developed the 12-inch single for like disco and whatnot, like all the songs became like 4.5 minutes long, and that, those were the top songs, so everybody was trying to make their shit longer to be played in the club. So I mean, it's really not that different, it's just a change of the times. And like, really, with big data, I guess. I guess we really have to decide how much, as a society and just as a world, that we can really let other people have into our worlds. Because I mean, a lot of it, we do get a service out of it. And like that, like it's something that we enjoy and that we use every day. But is it really worth how much we're giving? And then also at the end of the day, I don't know how much money these people are really making, how much control they really have. Like, it's really interesting to see.
Well, I mean, if you just look at Google, and what they do is, when they made Gmail, the reason they made Gmail was so they can read people's emails, actually. Like, they were the only email service that would actually read the emails. So when they started off, they started off Gmail with ads in it, and then they took the ads off, which some people think was part of the plan, but by putting ads in, that kind of built this basis that they were going to read your email to target you ads. And since then, they've been reading people's emails, and basically they know everything about you. But in terms of music, I was just thinking, like, and these companies' abilities to know you very intimately and then therefore affect you psychologically very intimately, like in terms of like artists like Kevin Abstract, like, what if they could put you on a new artist or whatever, and that totally changes your life? Like, I've met so many people because of the art I like and the music I'm into. And you just, like, that really does have a real world consequence when you're shaping what people are engaging with, and therefore their values and the people they value around them.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's why that data is worth so much money. That people are gonna pay for it.
For sure. I think it's important to stress what Instagram is doing right now, and not showing how many likes people have. I think some people aren't going to admit that it makes a difference how they look at things, but I already noticed for myself, when I look at pictures now, I look at it so differently. And it's really trips me up because it almost doesn't feel real because it's just not there anymore. And it's interesting how, you know, Instagram is saying we want you to focus on what you put out, not how many people like what you put out. I don't know if you can make a similar argument for something like Spotify, because personally, I never cared about what I'm listening to or who sees it. I'm just going to listen to what I feel like and what I like.
Yeah.
But it's so much different with Instagram because it's so direct.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, you know, this picture is not going to get this much attention compared to this picture. And people actually do really filter out what they're putting out there because of that.
But the same, it's the exact same thing with Spotify. It's not the same with Apple Music, though, because I don't think they show their numbers same way.
They don't.
They, don't have that friend share thing.
But they do have a leaderboard. And so, and they do have, like, starred tracks that they pick. So there is this, like, a lot of people, and, like, including me, if you don't know an artist, you'll click the most played song.
Of course.
Right? And if you see, like, all those numbers and stuff, and you'll compare other artists' numbers, and you'll compare, like, oh, how much is Drake streaming over whatever, right?
Yeah.
And, like, it definitely makes you, it changes who you think's important.
Yeah.
Or what you think is important, when rather it'd be better to try to find what your own value system is and what you feel is really great, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why it's, like, similar to, like, Instagram, and that's why it's so good what Instagram is doing now. Just because, like, when you see someone who has, like, a lot of likes on their pictures or, like, a lot of followers or whatever, you're like, oh, well, people obviously like this person, so their stuff must be good.
Yeah.
So then, like, you see the number of likes versus, like, I don't know, like, a picture that actually speaks to you, but then, like, it doesn't have that many, like, impressions or whatever. Like, it's, you're gonna look at both of them differently. Like, I know, like, for me, like, I would always think, like, oh, yeah, this one has, like, more, like, not, like, I'm processing it like that, but, like, subconsciously. Yeah. Like, you're just kind of thinking, like, this is obviously better than the one that I actually like.
Yeah.
I think, like, similar to, like, what I was saying earlier about, like, Spotify being kind of, like, a social media platform. Like, if you see everyone listening to, like, this one thing because they don't want to show that they're listening to another thing, like, I don't know, like, Russ or something. Like, you're not going to think, like, you're going to, it's different because they're only putting out what they want you to think that they're, very, like, listening to a lot. But it's may not, like, it might not necessarily be the thing that they actually really, really like. You know what I mean?
Not to hate on this generation or whatever. I'm not going to make a complaint about millennials or anything, but I think that a lot of the artists that come out now are so superficial and narcissistic because of social media and because they get so many streams. Because I know tons of artists from around here, you know, artists that we want to represent at the radio station here, they're way more talented than a lot of the people who are the biggest artists who don't even write their own songs, right? But it plays into it so much. And I think that's why maybe, you know, even 10 years ago, you'll see a lot more talent in the music industry that's actually coming from that person and not just from big data.
Well, those superficial artists, like, their careers are also a lot, like, shorter lived than, like, we were talking about this earlier, but we both think that Rico Nasty is, like, a very like, the complete opposite of, like, an industry plant. Like, she's very organic. Like, she's super herself. Like, she's like, yeah, I'm angry and I'm gonna make music about how I'm angry. Yeah. Like, but then someone like
Lil Claro.
Like, she has a very manufactured image. Like, I still like her stuff sometimes, but it's just like, you already know it's like, you know that one Bo Burnham bit about how, like, that song repeats stuff about, like, trying to appeal to, like, the biggest audience as possible, so you make everything super vague.
Lena, you were saying earlier just about, like, people not wanting to say, like, what artists they listen to or something like that. I'll just, and we were talking about earlier, like, off the show, about, like, how some people are famous and people, like, are like, oh, that person's famous, like, oh, that must mean something. And then people say stuff like, oh, Kim Kardashian's famous for no reason. Like, yeah, because like, being famous doesn't mean anything. It just, like, it's just some weird calamity in human society, but it doesn't actually mean a value. And then when you have this huge, huge data platform that puts a number where one is bigger than two, and we're always going to say this is better and this is bigger, it's just
It's pushing.
I don't see how it's positive, honestly.
It's almost pushing, like, the need for fame and attention more and more than before.
I see that on, like, Instagram. I don't know if I see it on Spotify necessarily. Because, like, when I go into Spotify and I'm just, like, looking at, like, random artists, like, sometimes, like, if they have, like, literally no streams, I'll check them out. But, like, there's generally a reason for that. So, like I understand the Spotify, like, just having streams and whatnot. I think that's really helpful and really nice. But, like, I, on Instagram, like, I can even say for myself, I know I just, like, I'll literally delete shit if, if it, like, just doesn't do as well as I think it will. And like, then I'll just be, like really doesn't? Disappointed at it.
Yeah, like, who doesn't do that stuff?
Exactly.
Like, you're kind of, like, fooling yourself if you say you don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
like, everyone's affected by it, even, like, at a very, like, minimal subconscious, like, 1% level.
I mean, I think maybe as most of us don't make music or try to do music seriously, we don't see it as much, but to the artist, Spotify could be their Instagram, because if they see, oh yeah, I'm making music that I think is better than this other, you know, for lack of a better term, SoundCloud rapper that's at the same show as me, maybe they're just going to take it down because they're so discouraged. They're like, no one's paying attention, even though I'm putting so much work into this.
Oh, remember there was like this one artist who did that. Like, they had an album out and then it was like a very experimental album for them, Getter. And then he had an album out and then he was like, everyone's kind of like telling me this is trash. And like, he was in the middle of tour and then he was like, I'm going to cancel the rest of tour just because like, you guys really brought me down. And then I remember seeing this tweet that my friend shared and then it was like, it was something like, it's crazy how, like, as an artist, you can put, like, your most vulnerable self into a project and then, like, put that out on the internet. And then someone could just, like, very easily, without thinking, just be like, yikes. Like, I thought that really spoke to me because I was like, wow, like, we really don't care as much about an artist as we think we do.
We just care about the work. We always think, like, the work is for us. We
Don't think it's like, just to be marketable.
For the artist.
Because, like it, at some level, it is true. Like, Taylor Swift is, like, she makes music to be marketable, right?
Exactly.
To make money. But then someone like a Kevin Abstract or Frank Ocean, like, they're doing it just because that's their therapy. Like, he has that one lyric, but he's like, this is therapy, like.
Exactly.
I think we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah, that was good.
Good conversations today. Cool. We'll be back next week with a surprise guest.
What?
Yeah, surprise guest. No one knows.
A surprise for us.
For everyone, even for myself.
Whoa.
Okay, so
follow us on Twitter.
We're gonna CITR Word Street. Gabe isn't here. Gabe will be here starting next week.
Yay!
Told me Gabe, a big Calgary energy guy. He's gonna be back. Calgary, sorry, Gabe. He'll be back next week. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter CITR Word Street. We also need to get that Instagram running because I don't know what's happening with that. We'll be back next Friday, and we're going to be here most Fridays this summer. Thanks for listening to We're on the Street. We're going to finish with, I think this is a perfect time, we're going to finish with Use Me by Kevin Abstract. Just seems very fitting. And check out Radio Pizza Party. They are next.
Yeah.
Check them out. See you next week.
Niggas was in that back room, say I ain't sitting with that. Niggas was hitting that glass too, yeah I ain't fucking with that. Auntie was smoking that crack too, my mama was dealing with that. Big skies out in Corpus, them lights are so gorgeous. In the garage I made a fortune, yeah. I'm still trying to fuck every one man. In this mansion I'm still searching, y'all. Still rich, man, fuck the law. Above the law, she above the law. Close the blinds, let the lights go off. Duck low in case of radar, and take it all with speed and ease. Lag me on my knees, generational trauma things. I wonder how far I could bring the shits of my existence, my nigga. Can I get a witness? I lift it, turn into a vicious, I spit it. Let that man rip it, just get it.
You ain't the only one searching for that one. Nah. You gotta go ahead and let that song.
Everything gon' be okay, I'm out still a whip. Montana, my feelings roll, that's when I throw the drum. Everything gon' be okay, I'ma steal the whip and drive the bitch in Montana. My feelings roll, that's when I throw the drum.
Family, religion, friendship. These are the three demons you must slay if you wish to succeed in business.
Music Waste is hosting their annual fundraiser, Pre-Waste, at the Toast Collective on Saturday, May 4th, with performances by Devours, Sylvia Rath, Maneater, and Monsoon Moon. It's $10 at the door, or you can get your Music Waste pass for $20 to get into the show and be set for the festival.
My name is DP. I'm a CITR volunteer community member, and I have been for 7 years. The radio thing happened because I thought it was really cool. It's just me and the mic, and that's it.
What is Access Day?
It's where we acknowledge accessibility and how we can promote accessibility, not only on radio, but in our daily life.
What is special about this year's Access Day?
It's the fifth. It's the fifth. You know, it's big. And last year we had